And welcome back to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'm speaking with Ambassador Clovis Maksud, who's Professor of International Relations and Director of the Center for the Global South at American University in Washington, D.C. Dr. Maksud was the chief representative of the League of Arab States in India, and then he served as the senior editor at Al-Haram and then chief editor at Al-Nahar Weekly. Ambassador Maksud was appointed as the League of Arab States chief representative to the United States and the United Nations on September the 1st, 1979. And on August the 15th, 1990, he submitted his resignation from the League in the aftermath of Iraq's invasion of Kuwait. A lawyer, journalist, and diplomat, Dr. Maksud is author of several articles and books on the Middle East and the Global South, among them The Meaning of Non-Alignment, The Crisis of the Arab Left, Reflections of Afro-Asianism, and The Arab Image. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ambassador Maksud.
Thank you.
So what difference is there, essentially, Ambassador Maksud, between Egypt's government that's now under threat from its people and the government of Morocco, Yemen, Syria, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia?
Well, in view of the record of past differences in historical evolution of these countries and their liberation from different kinds of colonialists and mandates and trustees, therefore, there is a objective reality difference. However, what is common among them is the a large sense of consensus among the people. It demonstrates itself into the immediate, instant identity with their causes, with everybody, whether it's in Iraq or in Lebanon or in Syria and Palestine and in Egypt. There is an immediate, instant reaction and in a way, it communicates itself. So in this respect, for example, what took place in Tunisia, which in a way is a smaller country than Egypt, yet the pattern of authoritarian regime, suppression of the freedom of expression and association, the corruption in the elections and all that, that rebellion, which is called the Yasmin Revolution in Tunisia, which led to the departure of the former dictator president and the level of corruption that the ruling classes do have in these countries, immediately infected and stimulated and triggered what is taking place at this moment and unraveling in Egypt because of the similarity, but not the identification exactly, the similarity and the fact that the people who suffer the same thing in the Arab world almost have the same reaction to each other's revolutionary achievement. In this case, we find that it didn't take much time for the Tunisian revolution, which attracted the fascinated and was totally unexpected by the Arab people in general, became sort of a trigger and the vanguard for what is taking place at this moment in Egypt. Now, in Egypt, however, the Intifada, the Renaissance, the what you might call the uprising that is taking place on a very massive scale, where while in Tunisia it's 10 million people, but the type of the culture, the type of the people is to a very large extent uniform, and therefore it brought about within Egypt the articulation of the subjected and frustrated and suppressed will who were people who are marginalized felt that they need to be empowered. And although there has been a multiplicity of what you might call opposition groups and parties in Egypt, however, their dispersal, the fact that they are not united, brought the people out, set a slogans and a program, a temporary program or a transitional program, and asked all the groups in who were opposing the regime before that they have to coordinate, if not unite. And therefore, what you have is that the opposition parties, which were split and diversified among themselves, are now following the vanguard of this transformative movement that is taking place and expanding, and has sacrificed some of the younger people. And the revolution in the communication and information systems that has animated the young people in Egypt throughout the regions, throughout the governorships, the states, that is, of Egypt, are today forcing the various, the Islamists, the leftists, the communists, the liberals, to come to a common front if they want to be the recipients of the political gains that are bound to take place when the movement that is has been initiated in Egypt will realize its objectives.
So is that to say, Ambassador Maksoud, that similar events will take place in Morocco, Yemen, Syria, Jordan, and even Saudi Arabia?
Well, at this moment, we cannot judge, but there is no doubt that what is taking place in Jordan, although the oppression of by the royal family is not as clear and evident, and there is a level of accommodation, so the, it goes against the government rather than the ruling family, because there is a smaller country and there are historical loyalties. However, the demonstrations have been widespread. They have been almost, given the fact that Jordan is a small country, have been very impressive and very requirement, and they constitute a great deal of pressure on governments to respond to their desires, their objectives. And the one which is now more or less a candidate to change would be in Yemen. And I think that at that time, all vulnerable societies, for example, in Iraq, where the sectarian divide and the ethnic divide is repulsive to the civil societies in Iraq, I think that might lead to a correction, a corrective process within Iraq. In Lebanon, the sectarian system is still very clear. However, there are new forces that are emerging between civil society and the present political structure, yet that has not yet come to fruition, and the new government that is taking place might be able to respond to the desires of the... but no doubt, there is no doubt at all in my mind that what took place in Tunisia, but more profoundly in Egypt, because Egypt is the biggest, largest country in the Arab world. It lies between Asia, Arab Asia and Arab Africa. It is the cross-fertilizers of human experiences, and whatever progress it takes, then it will undoubtedly become much more speedily infectious. And I think the rebellion in what is taking place today in Yemen is probably the earliest candidate. But as we find that what took place in Tunis as a sort of a surprise, we might find surprises in other countries, but this is what you might call dynamics, searching for a sense of direction, and I think that the search of direction is being provided by the activists, by civil society, by the professional and trade union movements.
Well, I noticed, Ambassador Maksoud, that the Syrian regime that's in many ways similar to the Egyptian regime in as much as it's a kind of dynastic regime, they have responded by cutting off internet and news and increasing food subsidies. And that seems to be fairly common. I believe it's happening in other countries as well. Is that likely to work?
Well, it won't work, but what it indicates an anxiety, a level of vulnerability, and therefore it is the only difference is that Egypt has an added dimension in the sense that it has made a treaty with Israel, which has provoked a sense of national dignity, and that which does not obtain in Syria, where they are in a state of belligerency with Israel. That peace treaty, if the transformation takes place, undoubtedly would be seriously challenged, if not otherwise. And that is the situation that ultimately all these are out of the, in a way, a sort of an empowerment of the poor, bringing them back into the mainstream of human development and sustainable development, bringing them back into sharing the wealth which has been taken by corrupt extreme capitalists in Egypt. I think that in that sense, the United States, which is opening up on the freedoms that it wants, freedoms and better governance in Egypt, I think that they would have to realize that they cannot stifle the thing in date what is called stability of the peace treaty with Israel, especially after Israel has shown that it has not only humiliated and suppressed the freedoms and the right of self-determination of the Palestinian people, but it has dictated its terms of establishing settlements, violating international law, UN resolutions and others, and the United States has not been forthcoming into applying its genuine influence because apparently now, especially now, that in Congress the force of the Israeli lobby is quite substantial, and they prioritize the interest of Israel over the interest of fair solution of the Palestinian problem.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Ambassador Clemens Maksoud. Our previous guest from Egypt did say that it was a widespread perception that the United States wants governments like Mubarak's in place because they serve the in Israel security interests. You've just said that those security concerns are now up for grabs. I thank you for joining us here today. Again, I was speaking then with Ambassador Clemens Maksoud, who was the Arab League's ambassador to the United States and the United Nations. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing, engineer G. I'll be back tomorrow at 11. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. for another background briefing. Bye for now.
Beautiful stars Oscar winner Javier Bardem in an extraordinary performance as a conflicted man who struggles to reconcile fatherhood, love, spirituality.